Speaking with Carbondale Terriers football coach Brian Link. Coach, first of all, how were your holidays? How are you doing?
Doing well. Like, we're still in that kind of suspended animation with football. But, like, when you take time off and you can reflect and spend some time with family, it makes that a little bit, like, less on the forefront. But it just seems like it's kind of like a – it's like a dull headache that's always in the back, kind of not knowing. You know, you do this for 24 years, and there are a lot of coaches in the region in the same boat, like, in different sports. That, like, it's nice to be able to kind of dim that light for a while, but, man, it's still there, and it's still, like, you know, something that you have to think about all the time.
Last week when we were talking about trying to figure out when are we going to meet up and talk, because we'd been wanting to for a little bit, we decided on Thursday because we knew that it was going to be the day after IHSA had their meeting. We both were kind of, I think, like, we'll see if anything happens. But just to be sure, we decided on Thursday, and everything that came out yesterday, I think it kind of was what people were expecting. It was a little bit of a kick the can down the road situation, but and some people weren't happy exactly with what came from it. What were your thoughts on the release?
Yeah, it's a lot of folks have asked about it, like as players and coaches, and we look at this as like, okay, it's during this time there have been so many like stops and starts, and like, okay, well, this is definitely going to be like a touchstone that we can kind of get and move from there. Mm-hmm. And then seeing what came through yesterday was disappointing. Not all that surprising because, you know, you kind of look up the build up to it, and you look at the Department of Public Health. Seems like they had been kind of flirting a little bit with IHSA, but the governor's office really hadn't, and that stance hasn't changed much. And so once I saw what had happened, like the question is, like you said, I think you said perfectly, kind of kick the can down the road for a couple of more weeks, like, and then you get to like get really introspective as you lay your head in the pillow. Like, did we just read about the death knell of basketball? I mean, is this like saying, okay, like, it's going to be January 27th, and we still haven't talked about basketball, so that's probably not going to happen. Am I listening to the death knell of football, and they're thinking, okay, well, maybe we'll get a baseball season. And so then you really try to interpret what all those things mean, and really I think that there are very few people in the state of Illinois who have a clear vision of what we should do moving forward. And then that is complicated by the fact that other states have gone through with sports. So, you know, we are one of, I think maybe Coach Albertini said we're one of maybe six states that aren't playing basketball right now.
Right, yeah.
And so like I'm all for caution, and like, you know, you can't just ignore the fact that we're in the middle of a pandemic, but we also like, are we doing everything we need to do to look and see, are we doing our due diligence by our athletes? Like just as a state, like, I don't want to put anybody at risk. I don't want a JV basketball game to cause a grandparent to pass away. Mm-hmm. But are we doing, if these other states are figuring it out, are we looking closely at how they're doing it? And those are questions that, you know, I will never have the answer to because they're well above my pay grade. So when you hear about the announcement, you know, it's so heartbreaking in some ways because, you know, you scan the email that you know is coming in and you see the word contact days and you're just like, oh, this might be our third or fourth time this year to maybe have contact days. Mm-hmm. And then you realize, oh, no, even that comes with stipulations. Like, you have to wait till mitigation change. Like, so it is just like it's just a painful thing to see because it's just so many stops and starts and there are so many kids who and coaches and parents who would really just like to have some answers.
You talk about that death nail possibly for basketball and then possibly football coming up in maybe a few weeks with that special board meeting. I think just looking at it myself, we maybe haven't seen it just yet, but I think that next meeting that they're going to have in 2 weeks is really going to set the tone, I think. Like you mentioned, the mitigations and where you're at, certain regions in sports, lower risk sports might be able to get into competition, it looks like, based on that release. Just it kind of depends on a whole lot, but I guess I tried to take it from an optimistic view from it. I know a lot of people were really upset with what came out yesterday, but I looked at it and I said, well, some sports and a lot of the regions are getting down to that tier two, it looks like, and possibly tier one by the 27th. Come February, we might have something, and then the contact days for the medium and higher risk sports can provide a little bit more optimism, but we're going to have to wait and see what happens in 2 weeks, really.
No, that's exactly right. And I look at, like, oh my gosh, like, man, all of a sudden I wish that I was coaching bowling. I mean, that's a sentence that I never thought that I would put, you know, out there in the universe, but I thought, oh, just a competition and getting the kids out there and doing something. You're exactly right. There are going to be some kids in some low impact or, you know, low risk sports that are going to have a chance, and that's great. And I got to be honest with you, and I've said this, and it's like it is the truth, and it's never something you think you'd say as a coach. Even if we got our contact days and didn't get a season, like just to have our kids back out there. Like I, it is a lonely feeling to like have these bonds with these kids and know that, that you have 60, 70 kids that you are super close with and you know that they're struggling because they need to, they need the structure. They need to be out of the house. They need something to do. Like, so even if we were allowed to do that, I feel like there's some victory in the fact that like kids can go and put on some pads and they can be part of that fellowship, especially for our seniors, if they weren't to have a season, like just to have them back out and to do what they do. I think that that would be a gift. I mean, at this point, I'll take whatever I can get to just to be active in these kids' lives because I miss them. And I, it would be nice to be able to spend some time with kids that I've come to really enjoy.
Speaking with Carbondale football coach Brian Lee. Brian, I've seen some circulating out there on the internet of a potential schedule that they think might have been presented at the board meeting yesterday of potentially basketball and football happening at the same time in a pseudo summer season in May/June and the spring season coming beforehand in April. Putting aside, you know, the logistical problem of athletes having to kind of choose between the two real big popular sports in Southern Illinois, football and basketball, what do you think of potentially playing maybe less games but still getting games in May, but then also having to take a month off and then jump right back into your program and play potentially a full season starting in August?
Yeah, that's I'd heard that, just like kind of whispers of that, and it'll be complicated. We're going to have weather issues. Like, that's a very hot time of year to be trying to go out at 7 o'clock and play games. But the truth of the matter is that if that's what we get, then that's what we'll work with. Because I got a great group of seniors, and that if they just get four games, if they get four games in some kind of regional playoff, like, just the fact that they can get out and get out on the field and have one last shot at it is worth it. It will be complicated in the ways that you're talking about as far as, like, you know, what is that going to look like for a two-sport athlete? You know, we would never, any good coach would never be in the business of wanting kids to choose. And so we'll just have to figure out how to share. I mean, like, that's, we're not going to deny any kid, like, the possibility of having, like, a full experience or as whatever, a pandemic experience looks like. The other concern, obviously, though, is, like you said, like, if we have a shortened season and we finish in, you know, late June or whatever, like, by that time, like, we're going to really have to turn around and start over. Like, and I don't want to see us, like, have to delay the start of the fall and then have a shortened season in the fall and just kind of have this kind of, like, you know, this waterfall of, like, we're going to constantly be trying to chase what we lost. And so that will probably be, like, one of the harder things for us to do logistically, is figure out, okay, what does that look like? What's a July practice look like? Just coming off a month ago, we were playing real games, like physically, how are we going to keep our kids safe and heat and those kind of things? So there's a lot of logistical issues to that. But if you're telling me that that's what we have a possibility for, I will go stand out in the street with the sandwich board and ring a bell and ask for it if that's what we can get, just so our kids get a chance to go out and compete one last time.
Which would you prefer, the original plan of starting in February, getting games going in March, have about a seven-game season, or have that maybe only 1 month, six-week season, and then kind of have to turn around shortly after?
I think that if it was safe, that the February would be a lot more feasible, and I think it's a lot safer for kids, because I think that sometimes we as adults, like, who don't have to wear those pads and helmets and also coming off, you know, months-long quarantine, realize just what that would be like to be out in the heat for that six-game schedule. It would just be a concern health-wise. And so it's really kind of a dual-edged sword. Do you worry about, like, you know, we have the vaccine, people are getting vaccinated every day. Like, what does it look like in February as far as, like, numbers and spread, as opposed to, like, what do I have to worry about as far as, like, heat issues and keeping kids safe, you know, when it's going to be a lot hotter. So I would love it if February 15th, you know, we're out standing on the field and talking about, like, oh my gosh, it's so hard to be this cold and we're not used to it and all those things. So that would be a lovely conversation to be able to have, for sure.
Brian Lee of Carbondale Football with us right now. You got to work with the team in the fall. What impressed you about the team the most? You know, you lost some key guys, from what I recall, but you were still pretty excited when we talked back in September, October, about this rendition of the squad that you currently have.
Yeah, I think that in a lot of ways, the squad that we have right now is maybe the best squad since I've been here. I think that we returned like 18 or 19 of our starters, including our quarterback and our running back. And, you know, between those two guys, it's almost 3,000 yards of offense. Some of our key receivers are back. and four of our five starting offensive linemen. So, like, it's just a good group. Like, we've grown, like, we have gone through growing pains. 5 years ago, you know, our first season here, we were 0-9, and like convincing kids to keep coming out was difficult. And there were times, to be honest with you, like it was just dark that first year, thinking, you know, maybe this is more than I bit off more than I can chew. I mean, like, there's a whole lot of introspection there. But kids bought in, like, in small groups. And then eventually, like, over the last 2 years, we've made the playoffs, won a playoff game. You know, we got our share of the conference championship, got to put a number on that board, which we didn't know if we'd ever get to do. And so, like, we feel like we really like where the program's at. We like the kind of kids that we have. And so it's an exciting time. We really expect big things from this group, and we just really hope they get a chance to go out and fulfill those expectations.
You mentioned the quarterback and running back, Will Bowlby, and is your running back, and then Darius Ragland, your quarterback. What I'm going to bring him up for is cornerback, though. Yeah. But they both got selected to the Illinois Shrine Game that takes place in June this year. Just how big is that to get? In Southern Illinois, I think you're the only team that has two representatives on those rosters. How big is that to be able to have those, and how proud are you of those guys?
Oh, man. I mean, like, immensely proud. And, like, immensely proud not only because, like, the recognition. I mean, they were, like, you're right. Like, I have applied every year since I've been back in Illinois. I guess it's, like, 12 years now to nominate. These are the first kids that I've gotten into the Shrine Bowl, which is fantastic. And to get two of them and then to have them in just two such high character kids, it's just amazing. Like, I like, and also it's a promise of them for the idea of getting to play football. And then, like, Darius will probably get to go play cornerback, which is something that, like, he is probably one of the best cornerbacks in the South, but because he is our quarterback, we don't risk him on defense, and he takes it like a man. That doesn't mean that he is not always in close proximity on, like, you know, third and long. Like, he's like right next to my hip, like, hey, coach, I'm, you know, but, like, he is, you know, he's paid the price. He's paid his dues to be in this situation. Will Bowlby's the same way. He's suffered through a couple of pretty horrendous shoulder injuries through the course of his high school career. He's had surgery. He's had them fixed. And to make sure, you know, like, it seems like no matter what's going to happen, that Shrine game will go down. And so they'll get a chance. And we also have other great kickers, like our kicker, Macy Davis, who just recently got into Duke. You know, I want to go out her and see her onside kicks. We got 13 of them last year. And it would be cool just to be able to see her do that as well. So there are a lot of kids. But, yeah, the Shrine Bowl and having two kids in it, it's a new thing for me, but it's something that we're immensely proud of and we feel like indicates, like, where we have come as a program.
Darius has had a lot of accolades at the cornerback position, but really he's more well-known down here as a quarterback. I guess what is his ceiling, do you see, and, like, what kind of college programs are talking to you about him that are trying to get him? Because he's played at really the national level for the national team, the 16U, and then the Shrine game coming up. He's got the resume, really, to go maybe a little bit higher than what some Southern Illinois kids generally do.
Yeah, and Darius has been talking to a lot of schools. A lot of schools have been talking to us about him. The other nice thing about him is, grade-wise, like, he will go wherever he wants to go. And just, like quality of character-wise and, like, work ethic, he'll find a place to go. He has talked to some bigger schools, but I think that the quarantine has kind of it's kind of put it, like, the kibosh on a lot of that, because people are struggling with their own programs. Like recruiting is not what it's been a definitely different recruiting season this year. And I really hope that Darius is not somebody who kind of falls between the cracks in an area that may not produce a lot of athletes of that caliber, and that he gets overlooked. And so we're doing everything we can. He's gotten some offers from some smaller schools, but I know that he's actively talking to Purdue and a couple of other schools. Will Bowlby, you know, just, I mean, not to take away from Darius at all, but Will Bowlby was, he's an invited walk-on at Notre Dame.
That's awesome.
So, and that's a really cool thing too. I mean, you hear it like, okay, well, you know, he's walking on, but, like, you know, he is an invited walk-on at a very prestigious school. And he's had some offers from smaller schools as well. So we're just kind of waiting to see. And I'm sure that a lot of those schools are waiting to see, hey, are we going to get additional film on these kids? Mm-hmm. And it's hard to sell a kid at a defensive back spot that I can't give them high school film from in the last 2 years. So I'm trying my best to figure out how we can best get him placed. And luckily, he's a great kid, and it's not going to be hard to get him in that situation. And like, again, we mentioned Macy Davis. She's accepted to Duke academically. And Macy's talking about walking on and trying to kick at Duke. So there's a lot of exciting stuff, but there would be nothing more exciting than if we could be playing football on February 15th.
That would be really awesome for Macy, since we've already seen a female kicker at the NCAA level this past year. final question for you, Brian Lee, Carbondale football coach. NFL playoffs are going on right now. Divisional round is this weekend. You know, tough to look at the whole field and pick somebody, but I'm going to ask him, put you on the spot. Who is your Super Bowl pick at this time?
I'm going to give you the lamest answer possible. Probably what most people would say, and I'd have to say that probably the Chiefs. I mean, I think I know that they're not a perfect team, but man, I mean, it seems like there's not much they can't do. If they want to beat you on the ground, they can beat you on the ground. Patrick Mahomes is an amazing quarterback, and also helped by the fact that, like, universally known as a good guy, loved by his community. I mean, like, how can you not root for them? But also, there's a little bit of my heart that goes, and after watching them play Saturday, I think they're probably not as complete a team to do it. But there's something that I really like about the Buffalo Bills. I mean, like, I feel like they won their first playoff game in 25 years, and I know exactly what that feels like from a couple years ago. They broke my heart because I'm a Houston Oilers fan from a long time ago. So I had to hear all weekend about the biggest comeback ever by Frank Reich and beating the Oilers. So, like, but it's kind of nice to see this renaissance with the Bills, and they have a fan base that has really been hungry for it. But my heart says that, like, if I were going to put money on it, that I would say it's probably the field against Kansas City.
Coach Brian Lee of Carbondale Football Coach, thanks so much for your time today.
Oh, it's always a pleasure. I thank you guys very much.